Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, August 3rd, the Church in Myanmar launches a national prayer campaign against COVID-19. Bishops in the Democratic Republic of Congo express indignation against acts of vandalism against church institutions in the country. And we put the spotlight on the plights of migrants fleeing their countries to Europe in search of greener pastures. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. More than 800 migrants have been rescued in the Mediterranean since the weekend by NGOs working in the area, including the Ocean Viking E-Sea-Watch 3. The Ocean Viking has over 550 persons on board, including 28 women and 33 babies, the youngest only 3 months old. Hundreds of other migrants are adrift off the coast of Malta. Earlier today, we spoke to an expert in the field working to help migrants and refugees around the world. He is Monsignor Robert Vitilio, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission based in Geneva.
First of all, it's true that this is happening in Europe, but it also is happening all over the world. And sometimes we're not aware of that if we're living in Europe or even if we're living in some of the higher income Western countries. So this happens all over the world. I would say that, first of all, we have to remember that migration is part of the human condition, and this has been happening since prehistoric times. People wish to either flee dangerous persecutions and violence to be able to be free for themselves and to have a new future for their families. At the same time, there are other, in addition to those who would be considered refugees in the classic definition of the Geneva Convention of 1951, which is that they are fleeing violence and persecution and have a credible risk of losing their own lives or of having much harm done to them. There are also many other people who don't conform to that classic definition of refugee and yet are fleeing violence, are fleeing the lack of rule of law in countries, and also are trying to flee from starvation, from discrimination, and also because they know that they cannot obtain decent work at decent salaries. And so they're feeling forced to leave their home countries. Many times they want to stay at home, but they feel that they have no other choice but to migrate.
What is ICMC doing to help, whether in emergency situations or with even long-term resettlement and integration of new arrivals in host countries?
ICMC was founded 70 years ago in 1951 by Pope Pius XII, and he gave us a primary mandate of serving as a network for all bishops' conferences and other Catholic organizations responding to the needs of migrants and refugees throughout the world.
That was Monsignor Robert Vitilio, Secretary General of the International Catholic Migration Commission. Myanmar's serious political, socio-economic, human rights and humanitarian crisis triggered by the February 1 military coup have been exacerbated by a raging third wave of COVID-19 infections with an acute shortage of oxygen and the most basic healthcare almost non-existent. In this situation, the Catholic bishops of the country have called for a national prayer campaign against the pandemic that is threatening the country and the world.
People of Myanmar, let us raise our hands and pray. Let every heart raise its voice to God to save us all, the Catholic bishops of Myanmar said in an appeal on Monday. They urged that the prayer campaign begin immediately, at least for 2 weeks. As we sail through many challenges in our lives, experts have warned that the world, including Myanmar, need to get ready to face extraordinary challenge from the spiraling virus in the new wave, said the appeal signed by Cardinal Charles Bofill Yangon, President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Myanmar, CBCM, and its Secretary General, Auxiliary Bishop John Saw Yohan of Yangon, noting that the Delta strain of the virus is highly contagious and is causing deaths amidst an acute shortage of oxygen. The bishops pleaded for unity and an end to conflict and displacement. Facing this emergency, let us arm ourselves only with medical kits, oxygen, and other support to our dear people. As the country faces a shortage of human resources, the bishops urged all workers must be enabled to reach out to the suffering people. The military junta's hardline stand has reignited its old conflicts with some of the armed ethnic organizations, as well as several independent civil resistance groups that are defending their communities against the army's atrocities. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Myanmar says over 220,000 people have been displaced by conflicts and insecurity since the coup. Cardinal Bo, who is also president of the Federation of Asian Bishops' Conferences, called on the followers of various religions and faiths to come together as one community, raising their hands and hearts to the Almighty for healing, to let compassion become the common religion in these dark days. He also invited Catholics to continuous prayers, adorations, rosary chains in families and communities. Let us knock at the divine doors to melt the hearts of all people to bring healing, peace and reconciliation, he said. I am Robin Gomes.
The Democratic Republic of Congo's bishops are speaking out after numerous attacks on churches and other Catholic institutions over the course of the past 4 months. Christopher Wells has the latest.
The bishops of the Democratic Republic of Congo have expressed indignation at attacks on the church and church institutions in the past few months. On Sunday, the residence of Cardinal Fridolin Ambango, the Archbishop of Kinshasa, was targeted by a group of unidentified young people who vandalized it with insulting slogans against the cardinal. One day earlier, the cardinal had been the subject of offensive accusations by the Secretary General of the governing Union for Democracy and Social Progress Party, Augustin Kabuya. Among other things, Kabuya accused Cardinal Ambango, together with the Secretary General of the Congolese Bishops' Conference, Father Donatien Nisori, of wanting to politicize the church. The attacks are related to differences over the reorganization of the Independent National Electoral Commission in view of the presidential elections of 2023, which the church would like to see independent of politics and an expression of civil society. In a statement reported by Radio Okapi, the Congolese Episcopal Conference, CHENCO, speaks of irresponsible behavior, calling on the faithful to remain extremely vigilant and not to be influenced by anyone. CHENCO also says it is saddened by the repeated acts of vandalism, desecration, and theft of sacred objects that have occurred in the last 4 months against several churches and places of worship in the Diocese of Mubui Mai in East Kasai. The attacks were denounced by the local bishop, Bernard Emmanuel Kassanda, who in a pastoral letter released on July 26th speaks of reprehensible acts and heinous crimes that deserve timely and exemplary punishment. According to the Bishops' Conference, these inadmissible acts of violence constitute a serious attack on freedom of religion and expression, but also a violation of democracy. They say it is a big step backwards in the path towards the rule of law to which the Congolese people aspire. That, they say, is the reason for the requests addressed to the government to take the situation in hand by identifying and severely punishing those responsible so that such attacks will never be repeated. I'm Christopher Wells.
The head of a group helping people who have fled Belarus has been found dead near his home in neighboring Ukraine. The discovery comes while, in a separate development, the International Olympic Committee investigates allegations that Belarus put pressure on an athlete to return home, where a journalist received a harsh prison sentence for criticizing the president. Stefan Boss reports.
Officials say activist Vitaly Shishov's body was found hanged in a park in the Ukrainian capital Kiev a day after failing to return from a jog. Police said they were investigating whether he had been killed and his death made to look like suicide. Shishov headed the Belarusian House in Ukraine group, helping people to flee Belarus. Ukraine, Poland and Lithuania in particular have become favorite destinations for people fleeing persecution. Many try to escape a crackdown on dissent following a controversial presidential election last year. Authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko claims he won the vote, but critics believe the August election was rigged. Exiled Belarusian opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya expressed her concern about Shishov's death.
I understand the background of this death. I would say it was crime, but I can't say it without any results of investigation.
His death comes while the International Olympic Committee launched a formal investigation into allegations that Belarus was attempting to pressure an athlete to return home. Kristina Tsivanovskaya had refused her team's order to fly home early from the Tokyo Games after criticizing Belarusian sports officials. Instead, she has now received a humanitarian visa from Poland. Her reluctance to return home comes amid an ongoing crackdown on dissent. In one of the latest known cases, a court in Belarus sentenced a journalist to a year and a half in prison for allegedly insulting the president in messages in an already deleted chat group. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
As the world prepares to mark the 76th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on Friday, Vatican News spoke to Archbishop Joseph Mitsuaki Takami of Nagasaki, who reflected on the role of the Church in the promotion of peace in the world.
In occasion of this anniversary of the atomic bombing, I could say that the testimonies of experiences of the bomb are going to disappear, but they left their testimonies to the growing generations. So this is important, and also some people try to make some films, cinemas, on the story of a victim of the bomb atomic or other stories. And in the church also, we are now in Japan, we are trying to follow the Pope Francis, who came to Japan 2 years ago, and we left delivered his messages on peace, and the main theme of his visit was to protect every life, all life. So we are trying to not only the physical life, but also spiritual life, also the all life of a creature, all creatures. So if we protect all life or every life of all creatures, including humans, and we can promote more world peace. And it's not only necessary, but it's also almost in order by Jesus, I think. So we have to continue not only to pray for peace, but for example, to promote the Treaty on Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons to all nations.
That was Archbishop Joseph Mitsuaki Takami, Archbishop of Nagasaki. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. My thanks go to Karuchi Alessandro in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.